Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, to Monday. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor's joining me 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Peter King, 40 minutes from now. How are you, Joy?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning to you. NFL ratings were up on every network yesterday. The NFL is king. The NFL is back. Sorry, Twitter, it's winning, and it's winning bigly. Let me start with this. Here's the country we live in now in America today. It is a country based on affirmation, not information. Everybody wakes up in the morning with their sports, with their politics, with an opinion. And regardless of what happens, you're digging your feet in, and that's your opinion. You will not let anybody sway you. That's just the world we live in. We live in now an affirmation society, not an information society. Just tell me what. We even watch channels. They'll tell me what I want to hear. This channel will tell me what I want to hear. Not what you need to hear. So in Ohio, home of the Cleveland Browns, in Oklahoma, where Baker Mayfield played, you woke up in the morning, it didn't matter what he did. It was just going to be amazing. Pick six, somebody else's fault. Lost, somebody else's fault. Referees cost us. Really, referees threw the four turnovers. Referee threw the pick six. Okay, I was just checking out. He had a lot of yards. Oh, Baker Mayfield had a lot of yards. Are you watching the NFL in 2018? Yards are really easy to come by. But you know what's never easy to come by in the NFL? And it never will be easy to come by in the NFL? Wins. And Baker's 0-1 as a starter. And by the way, good luck. Ravens are next up. Schedule gets hard now. Don't tell me Baker played well. In the history of the National Football League, there has never been a single time that a quarterback, rookie or not, commits four turnovers and people say, wow, what a performance. Let me tell you something, Ohio. Your standards are pretty low if four turnovers you're satisfied with. I didn't think he played that well. He's clearly capable of being an NFL quarterback. What would I predict it in college? He's good enough to be an NFL quarterback. He's an accurate thrower of the football. But even Hugh Jackson after the game said, basically, quote, obviously turnovers were the difference in the game. Hugh Jackson didn't say officials were there for the loss, didn't blame his defense. Yes, some of his balls were dropped. Baker Mayfield throws it hard with a lot of spin. He's going to have dropped balls. A couple years ago, Matt Ryan led the NFL in drops. It happens. Get over it. Mayfield completed 50% and had four turnovers. And you're telling me this morning you thought that was great. Here's the other thing, is that it's pretty obvious in the NFL right now that if you're a young quarterback, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky, having an offensive staff, an offensive coach is an advantage. We saw Jared Goff with Jeff Fisher. We see it with Sean McVay. Patrick Mahomes lighting it up. Andy Reid. Mitch Trubisky, 6 touchdowns. Mitch Trubisky. Oh, he's got Matt Nagy. By the way, Sam Darnold, defensive head coach. Josh Rosen, rookie, defensive head coach. Josh Allen, Buffalo, defensive head coach. Baker Mayfield, and this is why I said, do not run Hugh Jackson out of town, is a smart offensive head coach. That's why Hugh Jackson didn't blame the refs. Hugh Jackson didn't blame the defense. Hugh Jackson didn't blame the receivers. Hugh Jackson said, I'm tired of it. This is not acceptable. Four turnovers cost us the game. Baker Mayfield has the best offensive line of any rookie quarterback. Darnold's is awful. Josh Rosen's is awful. Josh Allen's is awful. I don't count Lamar Jackson because he's not starting. That's Flacco's team. He also has real weapons. He has an elite wide receiver in his prime, Jarvis Landry. He also had 200 yards rushing yesterday, so he's got a better offensive line, the only of the rookies that has an elite receiver in his prime, and he's got three legitimate running backs. Nick Chubb, who I said before the year could be rookie of the year, is really good. Carlos Hyde is really good. Duke Johnson, nice little player. Those are three legit NFL running backs. The Jets would like to have one. Listen, if you wake up in the morning and you've already made your decision on political stuff and sports stuff, you're not into information. You're into affirmation. If you want to talk about yards, Derek Carr had 440 against the Cleveland defense. That Cleveland defense is real. That Raider defense is crap. That Raider defense is bad. So Baker Mayfield, on three extra days rest, had more turnovers, and those are the difference between winning and losing. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has ever had a four-turnover game. Had more turnovers than all the other rookie quarterbacks with fewer weapons combined. And he also faced the worst defense of all the rookie quarterbacks yesterday. So I got news for you. Lamar Jackson didn't have a turnover. Josh Rosen didn't have a turnover. Sam Darnold faced the Jags, didn't have a turnover. Baker Mayfield had four. But you woke up in the morning. You just made a decision. Baker, look, a pick six is not his fault. Well, I mean, the officiating. Nobody in a striped shirt committed a turnover. Baker had four. He's not going to be a bust. But by the end of this year, if you're bragging about yards today with Baker Mayfield, having 290-some yards, if he didn't have more yards than Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Sam Darnold, I'd be worried. Because he has a legitimate O-line. He has a legitimate star receiver in his prime. He has legitimate running backs. He has an offensive coach. Between Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, those are veteran offensive minds. I don't think Baker's a bust. I never did. But I don't wake up in the morning not willing to go, what am I really seeing? What I saw was an injury-riddled offense led by Baker Mayfield. He'll be fine, but you got to be honest about it. Can't be blaming refs this morning. Can't be blaming receivers. They didn't commit four turnovers. Let me shift gears to a decision by Frank Reich. He is the rookie head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And overtime loss, he went for it on a fourth down and pretty short in his territory. And he didn't get it. And then Houston got a couple yards and won. Frank Reich is just getting crushed today. I think it's interesting. For something to be courageous and gutty, there has to be risk. And if the Colts would have picked up a first down and kicked a field goal, every single sports columnist would have put gutty, courageous in the headline. Because something can't be courageous. It's not courageous to get a job out of college and 40 years later have the same job. There's no risk. It's not gutty to walk across a street with no cars. There's no risk. It's not gutty to walk across a bridge that you can't jump off of. You know what I mean? You can't bungee jump off of. There's no risk. Courage and guts come from risk. Otherwise, there's no such thing. There has to be risk. It's risky to be, you know, a lot of different things. It's not risky. And that's what the columns would have been today. What a gutty move. Courageous move. You can't go from gutty and courageous to stupid based on the results. Doesn't work that way. Because Mike Vrabel pulled his kicker off the field and went for it on fourth down, and he won. So the results were different. You're calling him gutty today. You're calling him gritty today. You're calling him smart today. Doesn't work that way. Journalists and the media too often look at results and base all their narrative on that. I like the move by him, and I'll tell you why I like the move. So he goes for it. First of all, his quarterback was on fire, and the Texans' defense was absolutely gassed. But here's why I really, really like it. Because when you take over a business, and he's a rookie head coach, year one is not about wins. Year one, for me at this network, was about changing the culture, creating chemistry, a belief system. Year two, then you can start looking at W's. Then you start checking the scoreboard. But the Colts have the third to fourth best roster in their own division. I'll repeat, in their own division. And Frank Reich, the new head coach of the Colts, came from a Philly staff that not only led the NFL in conversions on fourth down, but attempts. He brought that culture over. Philly special, Super Bowl, trick plays. Against the Patriots, fourth down, goal line, for the win. Okay, when Chuck Pagano was the coach of the Colts, my big complaint was, What the hell's the identity with this team? What are they? With Frank Reich, I know what the identity is. Andrew Luck's my guy. We're going to be aggressive. We don't care what you think. Here's what Frank Reich, who's getting ripped today, said about his decision.
Yeah, I'll just address it now. I mean, we're not playing to tie. I mean, we're going for that 10 times out of 10. I mean, that's just the way it's got to roll. You know, we're going to be aggressive. That's what we want in our players. That's a mindset that we have in our players. That's the only way to win in this league, I think.
That's how the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And by the way, Frank Reich left the Eagles. They're not as good this year. Year one is about creating a culture. This team's not a playoff team. Good God, I said I think they'll go 8-8, and I got all sorts of pushback. Most people, Vegas, have them at 5-6 wins. They don't have Jacksonville's roster. They don't have the Texans' roster. I'm not sure they have the Titans' roster. Year one's a culture change. Year two is results. And by the way, I at least know what they are now. The culture aggressive. And by the way, whereas I never felt Pagano and Irsay had any relationship, Ryan Grigson either, any relationship with Andrew Luck at all. He had this star young quarterback, and I felt he was kind of just swimming on his own. He didn't trust the coach. He didn't trust the GM. He didn't have an offensive line. He didn't trust the training staff. He admits now, Andrew Luck, I was in deep pain playing. No. This morning, here's what I know what Andrew Luck thinks. I like my coach. Here's Andrew.
We're not going to play for a tie, and I think everybody in that locker room freaking likes that. You know, loves that. I love that. We've got to execute. I've got to play better. I've got to throw a better ball. I mean, we all know where we have to improve. But that attitude, we can get behind that.
You know, there's an old saying, don't jump over a $20 bill to get to a five. Folks, all you're trying to do in Indianapolis right now is create this cohesive culture. And Frank Reich did it. Mike Vrabel did the same thing, and this morning, courageous, gutty, courage, wow. What, on the results? Marcus Mariota was playing really well. Go for it. Andrew Luck was tearing up the Texans. Go for it. What do you got to lose? Third place in the division? I will always support, and I've talked about this. This is how a certain guy got into the White House. Aggressive wins. It wins in politics. It wins in sports. It may not win every day. It may not win every election. It may not win every Sunday. But aggressive wins. You got to ask the pretty girl out. And sometimes 8 out of 10, she'll laugh at you, roll her eyes, mock you, and say no. You don't get less aggressive. Aggressive wins. Frank Reich went that way. Totally, absolutely support it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This sounds counterintuitive, but it's much easier to handle failure than success. Because if joy fails or I fail, you put your head down, you work hard, and you don't want to get embarrassed again. So when you fail, the solution's pretty easy. Like, get your stuff together, concentrate more, focus more, put your head down and work hard. But success is actually harder to handle. It's like, ooh, you got a raise. Man, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy. Success is hard because it's hard to be successful. And a lot of people are successful. Getting to the top's one thing. Staying at the top is really, really hard, like New England. So New England was vulnerable this weekend. They were a wounded bird. They were 1-2. They still have a completely unsettled wide receiving core. Their best wide receiving target is a running back, James White. Gronk got hurt again. They have no pass rush. They're 28th in the NFL in sacks. Brady, Belichick, it's not perfect. They lost Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator. They're a wounded bird, man. They're so vulnerable. Here comes Miami. Not very successful. But not successful guy got a little taste of success. Bought a new Corvette. Woo! He's driving a new car. Got a new job. Got a new corner office. Miami showed up and laid a blanking egg. Miami could have gone up 3.5 games on New England. It's not that they lost. They weren't even ready to play. Ric Flair, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And you had the man. You were healthier. You weren't unsettled at wide receiver. You weren't unsettled at running back. Your best player, Gronk, didn't get hurt. You had an opportunity. The weather was a non-factor, which, let's be fair, it is harder for a Miami or a Tampa to go play in a Green Bay or a Foxborough in November, December. They're not used to the weather, just like it's hard for a New England or a Green Bay in September to go down and play in Miami where it's, you know, 96 degrees and smothering, or Jacksonville. So the weather was perfect. You were the healthier team. But again, this is just what Miami is. I put him in my herd hierarchy at number 10, and I deeply resented it. The staff's like, you got to give Miami a shot. And I said, I am not putting them at 10. You can't trust Miami. So much to the chagrin of me and my reputation, I snuck Miami in at 10. I will no more recommendations from the staff.
To be clear, I was not a part of that conversation. So while I very much would like for the Dolphins to be good, I trust my experiences with the Dolphins. So this is not surprising to me.
At 3:30 Eastern yesterday, third quarter, Jets, Bills, Dolphins, none of them had any points. Brady scores 38 with a collection of whatever that is. But I'm telling you, so much, it's so true. A lot of it's just cultural. Miami's got one of those cultures where they just can't handle any success. This was there to take. You could have literally seized control of the division. 4-0 out of September against 1-3. And oh, by the way, New England's got to come to you later in the year. Where through the years, Miami against New England at home, been a pretty good matchup. Yeah, and it's not that you lost. You didn't even compete. I mean,
they did beat the Raiders and the Jets, and well, the Titans looked good yesterday. The Titans. I mean,
by the way, here's Tom Brady after the game. Tom Brady, celebrate rarely, grind regularly, had fun for just a minute.
Great to be back in the win column, 2-2, and it's coming quick. Foxborough, Thursday night, baby. Got to get to 3-2. Let's go!
What up? Trying to diss me. I need you 6 feet.
She said she missed me. Then she want to kiss me. God, Miami. I mean, you know, you got a raise. You went out and bought yourself a sports car. You got the corner office. And you got a hangover and showed up for a meeting. That's exactly what happened yesterday. Couldn't handle that much success in your life.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I've said this, Joy, on this show, and Joy, you've been here, what, 3 months now? Is, you know, one of the things I've said about the NBA that drives me crazy is the media falls in love with the newest, shiniest toy. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and it's like, you got Durant over here, and LeBron are the best players, most valuable players in the NBA. The media does this. And if you're cool, if you're a good quote, the media likes cool and they like hip and they like progressive and they like Aaron Rodgers is all of that stuff. And I'm not denying he's super talented. But I always roll my head when I'm like, oh, he's better than Tom Brady. No, he's not. Tom Brady's more coachable, more consistent, less ego, harder working off season, more driven, better in the clutch. No, Tom Brady's better than Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron's got a great arm. So did Dan Marino. Joe Montana was better than Dan Marino because he was more coachable and he had less ego and he was better in the clutch. And he was, I mean, 11th year. I said this yesterday on NFL Kickoff. And everybody was like shocked. I said, when I wake up in the morning now, and Aaron yesterday was 22 of 40, and he wasn't good, and he's not accurate, and some of it's an injury, and some of it's he's not practicing. I get it, and I'm not denying he's a great talent. But when I wake up in the morning on Sunday now, I don't think about Aaron Rodgers. I want to watch Patrick Mahomes. I want to watch Jared Goff and the Rams. I love what Chicago's doing with their coaching. There's just young guys I want to watch at quarterback. There's just a lot of young guys I want to watch. I'm bummed out that Jimmy G's gone. I'm used to Aaron Rodgers getting hurt. He's going to be 35 in December. He's hurt again. He's not practicing again. And he's not very good again. This is the 11th year in the NFL that the media has fawned over him. And he's 34. He's hurt again. He's outspoken again. And it's somebody else's fault again. And I don't buy that Devontae Adams is a better wide receiving talent than anybody Tom Brady has. Tom Brady doesn't have anything close to Devontae Adams. By the way, in his prime, Tom Brady didn't have anything close to Jordy Nelson. And I'm not saying, and don't tell me McCarthy's, every time Mike McCarthy has a chance to throw Aaron under the bus, he doesn't. Mike McCarthy comes out, effusive in his praise, every stinking time. Mike McCarthy could throw Aaron under the bus. He never does. Aaron yesterday could have thrown the team under the bus. He didn't waste the opportunity. Now, did he?
So that's just not acceptable offense for us. 423 yards looks pretty good in comparison to some of the games we've put forward the first 3 weeks, but should have been about 45 points and about 600 yards. Well, we were terrible on offense, so I don't think it made a difference for the offense. We need to find ways to get our playmakers in position to get some more opportunities. You know, a game like today, I mean, Devontae is a tough cover for anybody, but he should have 20 targets today. Coaches put the plan together. I tell them what calls I like, and we go.
As the coach puts the plans together, and Devontae should have had 20 targets, the insinuation is we didn't put a plan together to have 20 targets. You can't audible at the line? You can't find him 20 times? Again, Aaron's, I don't know Aaron. I know he doesn't like me. That's fine. But this is the 11th year, and he's hurt again and not practicing again, and his passer rating's bad, and I keep getting told, you know, it's funny about it. One of the things I always said about Tim Duncan and Tom Brady are the most coachable superstars. They took pay cuts. They were about the team. They worked really hard. They were driven. They suppressed their ego. I don't see a lot of suppressing of the ego with Aaron. I don't think he's easy to coach. Multiple people have called him out. And any chance he's got a chance to kind of stick it to somebody, they haven't scored 30 points in a calendar year. Trubisky just dropped 150. Okay, Kirk Cousins on Thursday night threw for about 600 yards. I don't know. When I wake up on Sunday, there's other guys, and he should win another Super Bowl. I would be shocked if he didn't win another Super Bowl. And I have defended him, saying they don't do a very good job getting him defensive players. I think they should have signed Khalil Mack, and I think he's an all-time talent. But I consider him much more Marino than Brady. The reason Brady ends up with rings, and Dan Marino, who, by the way, had Don Shula and Jimmy Johnson as coaches. Don't tell me Dan Marino didn't have great coaches. Jimmy Johnson's one of the top five ever, and Don Shula's one of the top six. There's a reason he didn't win them, and Brady did. And some of it's Brady and Marino's issues or strengths.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, we do it every Monday at this time. Where Colin was right and where Colin was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
I said the Ravens were my dark horse Super Bowl team, and I said more than anything, Joe Flacco is going to have a very good year. I've been told by people around the NFL he's not as aspirational as a Tom Brady or Joe Montana. He doesn't wake up wanting to conquer the world. He kind of plays himself into shape. But I said if you light a fire under him or it's a contract year, watch out. Well, they drafted Lamar Jackson. He feels a little heat, and he has been fantastic. 8 touchdowns, 2 picks, career highs in passer rating and passing yards per game. Joe Flacco, when Joe Flacco is motivated, is a really good NFL quarterback. Great size and a cannon for an arm, but he's not always motivated. We've all worked with people like that. Some people just don't wake up wanting to conquer the world, and the ones that have talent and do become Kobe Bryant, become Tom Brady, become LeBron James. But Flacco has been what we predicted he would be, a really good quarterback with a team that's capable now, maybe as good as anybody in this league, including the LA Rams.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mitch Trubisky threw for 6 touchdown passes. Gonna be honest, I didn't see that one coming. In the history of guys who have thrown 6 touchdown passes in a game, let me read the names. Otto Graham, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Steve Young. Mitch Trubisky. Listen, I still think his ceiling is rather low, but the Bears' Matt Nagy, another Andy Reid disciple, is cranking up all sorts of clever stuff. And yesterday, you know, Mitch dialed up a couple of really big-time throws. So I see the guy as very limited, but he proved me wrong yesterday. Mitch Trubisky, say it out loud, is now in a class with Otto Graham.
Where Colin was right.
Philadelphia, a puff your chest town. This is what Philadelphia's always been. They win the Super Bowl. The coach gets a book deal. Oh, they're yap, making guarantees. Go to a bunch of parades. And now Philadelphia is 2-2. They're not spectacular at anything. Carson Wentz is okay. They've lost two road games. Secondary's kind of a mess. And the chest-puffing Eagles with a tougher first-place schedule have come back down to earth. And oh, by the way, good luck because your schedule gets tougher now. Next up, Minnesota, that defense with extra time and really motivated. I think Philadelphia will eventually probably get it right, but this is what I warned you about. How do you handle success? And Philly guy has never been great at handling success. The Phillies weren't, the Sixers weren't. Takes a little class, a little refinement. Put your head down, work. Stop the trash talk. Enough with the books and parades.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, some of this has been injuries, but Atlanta's now 1-3, and they're losing differently each week. I said I thought they were as good as anybody in the NFC, and I like their schedule. But I look at them now. You know what? There's just certain teams that never make the play. And they don't make the play defensively. And even though they've solved their red zone issues offensively, they don't make the big play offensively. And it's funny because Dan Quinn is a defensive-minded head coach. He's a tough guy. But when you watch Atlanta, don't you always feel like if they get into a fist fight here, they're going to come out on the wrong end of it? And again, now they're losing home games. I have overvalued the Falcons.
Where Colin was right.
I said this to start the year. This Notre Dame team is different. This is the best Notre Dame team, I'm being honest here, that I've seen since the Lou Holtz era. They are big, and I mean like Alabama big, Georgia big, Oklahoma big up front defensively. They got NFL players. They got Sunday guys defensively. They rolled Stanford. Stanford's a good team. Stanford's a top 7-8 team in the country. They have now put a new quarterback in, Ian Book, and he is a big-time player. So they have solved what was their issue, throwing the ball down the field. This is the best Notre Dame team, my eyes tell me, they've had in over a decade. Defensively up front, they maybe aren't as good as Clemson up front defensively, but they're every bit as good as the Georgias and the Oklahomas and the Alabamas up front, and they got the quarterback solved. I've always liked Brian Kelly, a little bit of a hothead, a little temperamental, not easy to quarterback for, but I've been critical of Notre Dame in the past. They are the real deal. This team to me looks like they can match up with anybody. They may not beat Alabama, but they can match up in the trenches with Alabama.
Where Colin was wrong.
I have no idea how the New England Patriots scored 38 points yesterday. I don't like Philip Dorsett, and he had a absolutely brilliant catch right there. Cordarrell Patterson, to me, is a non-trustable return guy. He has a touchdown right there. Josh Gordon was not only 2 for 2, but he also had a hell of a block, which led to a big play. Running back Sony Michel, who I liked out of college, hasn't done anything. He looked good yesterday. Every guy I don't like and that I criticized last week delivered. They were 10 for 15 on third downs, which is, Miami's got a real defense. Miami can play. It's spectacular. And, you know, I've been saying the last couple of weeks, I just don't see the playmakers. I don't see the dynamic athletes. And every one of those guys I don't like was really good yesterday. I was wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Colin, Sam Darnold lost. Yeah, I know. And I have predicted, yes, I have predicted every Jets game right this year. Remember, I bet them in week one to win on Monday Night Football on the road. And then I predicted they'd lose to Cleveland. And I predicted they'd be ugly and lose to Jacksonville. For the record, they will be one of my blazing five picks this week against Denver. I predicted they would struggle against Jacksonville and Cleveland. Of course they will. They've got an atrocious offensive line. No elite tight ends or running backs. Marginally talented wide receivers who drop it and are undependable. Listen, he had no turnovers and a passer rating of 74. The Jets' problem yesterday was not Sam Darnold. It was their defense, which with extra time was atrocious. So far on the Jets, yes, I have predicted every game right. I have them beating Denver, then losing three straight and going on a little bit of a roll after that.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, I said LeBron's going to come to L.A. and it's going to be seamless because L.A. is a home of stars. people are going to freak out. Oh, my God, there's LeBron stopping traffic. I thought, you know, the fans will love it. The media will handle it. L.A. appears confused. The media doesn't even know how to handle him. They're should we be respectful? Should we be confrontational? Remember this last week, this question to LeBron James?
You're wearing number 6. Is there a particular reason why you're wearing it?
I've worn 6 in practice for a long time. I'm starting to figure out a lot of you guys just not recognizing who I am, huh? I have no idea. I've been doing this for about the last 8 years now.
LeBron appears not to like people covering him, and the people covering him appear not to like LeBron James. The vibe is completely weird. Hopefully it gets worked out, but I thought it would be such an easy transition. Kobe fans don't like him. Murals have been defaced. The media's pushing back and confused. It's weird.
LeBron's generally very good with the media, and too. And he's been doing this for a very long time.
And he has been nothing but, like, eye-rolling with the LA media now for a month.
Where Colin was right?
All magic is just illusion, including Ryan Fitzmagic. Folks, come on. You're buying into this? Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's a backup. Nick Foles is a backup. The difference between star quarterbacks and backups is consistency. That's the difference between a star linebacker and a star corner and a star receiver is consistency. Ryan Fitzpatrick in his fourth game became, you know, what backup quarterbacks can often be. Atrocious. The media and the fans buy into this every year. There'll be a backup that steps in due to an injury or a suspension, and it's like, oh my God, that guy's a man. Jameis Winston is a bigger, stronger athlete. There's a reason you drafted Jameis Winston where you drafted him. And for the record, Jameis Winston, the last 2 years, his passer rating went up, his percentages went up. Jameis Winston is the superior player to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Of course he is.
Where Colin was right.
Earl Thomas gave Pete Carroll, for Pete's sake, the number one salute. I never buy into this pro player talk politics, heavy slogan nonsense. By the way, players may say they don't like Belichick. I watched yesterday. They performed for Belichick. The Legion of Doom dynasty is unraveled. Earl Thomas, Cliff Averill ripped him on my show. Richard Sherman left bitter. The Seattle dynasty, you want to know the reason it closed? Because a lot of it was just nonsense and marketing and PR. In the end, the players don't appear to like Pete Carroll, don't buy into Pete Carroll. And just like at USC, after 4, 5, 6 years of slogans, you know, tough guy Tuesday and competition Wednesday and loose ball Thursday, it all unravels. Football's about hard work, head down, details. It's what Belichick creates, provides, and that's why they're still winning. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
My next guest is the only player with 5-plus interception for touchdown returns and 5-plus fumble recovery touchdowns in the history of the NFL. You learn something new every day. 15 years in the NFL, a multiple-time Pro Bowler, D'Angelo Hall, joining us here on a Monday. So, okay, everybody's puffing up Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. 4 turnovers. Is that the ref's fault? You can't win a game with 4 turnovers. 4?
Yeah.
Yards, I mean, yards. Everybody's throwing for yards. I mean, what did you make of Baker?
I liked that he at least took responsibility. You can't turn the ball over that many times in the National Football League and win football games and be successful. And so, though I don't think it's all Baker's fault, he can't turn the ball over like that. He has to be smarter with the ball, and I think he understands that. That's why he said, look, at the end of the day, it's my fault. As a defensive player, though, I can't say anything to Baker if a team puts 45 points up on us, period, no matter where we got the ball. We work all offseason on getting the ball in bad situations, bad field position, and holding that offense to field goals. And Cleveland didn't do that. And Cleveland's a better team than they showed against Oakland, who I don't think is very good at all.
Well, Oakland's defense is a mess. Yeah. It's a mess.
And so, you know, Baker did what young guys do. He made some great plays. He made some not so great plays. You know, he has to work on being better with the ball in the pocket. That's the difference between college and the pro game. In college, it's not a lot of dudes who are going to try to strip that ball trying to get it. They're still learning that.
You know what's funny, D'Angelo? I was thinking about this yesterday on the couch. In college, offensive players are very fast. The backs are fast, the receiver. In the NFL, defensive players, including defensive ends, are fast.
Yeah.
So for an off, you know, generally in college, your best, because you get a kid out of high school, and if he can run, you put him on offense. He's a back. But in the NFL, and what happens is with Baker yesterday, the game gets really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And a couple times, those guys are on you so quick. And Johnny Manziel thought he could scramble. Oh, he couldn't scramble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Baker can run a little bit. They're a little bit faster. And so I think it's a learning process with Baker. The game's really fast. There's no Texas Tech here. Mm-hmm. And that's where the turnovers come from.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the difference. Those elite players he faced versus Ohio State versus a Alabama, that it was only maybe two or three of those type of guys on that team that he was like, all right, I got to watch out for this dude. I got to watch out for that dude. In the NFL, it's all 11 on defense. It is literally all 11 guys
can
on
run.
Defense can run. They're athletic. They're in the NFL for a reason. Whereas when you're in college, a couple of them dudes really are rotating in, rotational type of players, and they have no chance at playing on Sundays. And so that's absolutely the big difference between, you know, what Baker's seeing now and what he saw last year. And so, you know, that was my biggest hang up on a guy like Josh Rosen. I think you loved him.
I love
or you
his,
liked him a lot.
I love his
you
arm.
You love Sam Darnold
better,
right?
Sam's my guy. Rosen throws the best ball, but he's thin, and he had a nice throw yesterday.
See, but my thing with Josh Rosen, he was so overly confident of what he can do and what he's going to do and the regrets of people not taking him. And I'm like, dude, you were a average quarterback in college. Like ultimately, we want you to win games, and you didn't win games. You're one of the few quarterbacks who we're talking about as being a top one, two, or three pick who had his college coach fired. Normally, when you're a really good and I'm not out here in LA, so it might have been some other things I'm a Jim Mora fan, so I'm constantly rooting for him. And so, you know, when I found out, well, when kind of it came out that he was going to be fired, and now I'm hearing this quarterback, because I did a lot of the pre-draft stuff talking about how great of a player he is, and I'm watching some of the game film of him playing, and I'm like, yeah, you know, he can make some good throws, but he was so overly confident, he almost felt as though he was going to be the only one working. And in the NFL, everybody's working. And that, to me, was what rubbed me wrong about Josh Rosen, is that I just – like, yes, you can have all the confidence in the world, but one, everyone doesn't need to know. And two, show me something and don't tell me something.
That's fair enough. So I believe there's a reason you become a rookie head coach, because the last guy failed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're taking over a football team, not only didn't you win games, but usually you couldn't get the culture right.
Yeah.
So it's just like when people buy companies. The reason the company's available often is the culture's not right. So they fire a CEO, they bring in a new CEO, and his job is to change the culture, change morale. Because you're not going to always win initially. So when I look at Frank Reich, my takeaway is year one, change the culture. Become aggressive. Have a relationship with Andrew Luck, because 6 years in the league, he's never had a relationship with his owner, his GM, and his coach. So he goes for it yesterday, and I'm like, the Texans were gassed. Luck was on fire. And Frank Reich saying, 1-3, 1-2-1. Bottom line is, this locker room, we are a go-for-it team. You didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it at all. And I liked the mindset, but that to me wasn't the right time or place to do that, because as we look at it now, it's 24 seconds on the game clock in overtime. They have one timeout. Even if you catch that ball, you have to use a timeout. So now you use
can
a
you rush can you rush up down it
even if you do rush up and down it then probably we're at 15 seconds, one timeout,
ball 12 left. Yard completion, timeout, win the field goal. You don't buy it?
I don't see it. I just don't see it, because I know what those defenses are trying to do. And they're going to give you some of the little stuff up front, and they're taught to keep it in front of them and keep him inbounds. And so, yes, all right, you save your timeout. You got 15 seconds left if you can get up there and clock it. But to me, a lot of things have to go right for that to happen.
That's true.
First, you have to complete the catch. You complete the catch, cool. Timeout or not, 15 seconds of timeout or 24 seconds, no timeouts. Regardless, you still have to get another 15, 20 yards before you can kick a field goal that you feel like you really have a chance to make. To me, it's just so many negatives and so many positives. So many things have to happen to have a positive outcome in that situation, as opposed to just kick the – I mean, if you kick the ball and you punt it, at the end of the day, you don't
want
to lose.
You're settling for a tie.
Like, well, it's, in a sense, you're settling for a tie, but you're also guaranteeing you don't lose. You don't lose unless they return this punt for a touchdown.
Okay, here's Frank Reich after the game. Let's listen to his quote.
Yeah, I'll just address it now. I mean, we're not playing to tie. I mean, we're going for that 10 times out of 10. I mean, that's just the way it's got to roll. You know, we're going to be aggressive. That's what we want in our players. That's a mindset that we have in our players. That's the only way to win in this league, I think.
Man, I love that guy. You go ahead. You take the passive coach. That's fine with me.
Well, you know what? He's gonna at some point have a loss on his record that somebody's gonna be questioning, and he's gonna be like, "Man, I wish a tie looks a lot better than a loss." And to me, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about the tie or even the win at this point. I don't want to lose. Point blank, period.
4 hours.
I just don't want to lose.
4 hours in, you don't want to lose. All right, so Aaron Rodgers yesterday wasn't very good. And it kind of felt like, to me, he called out his coach. You know, he said, they make the game plan. I pick the plays I like. Didn't have to go there, but, you know, he was honest about it, so that's okay. Listen, man, I've watched 11 years of people fawning over Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I got one Super Bowl run. I don't need him to be in the Super Bowl every year. That's not what I'm saying. But he's not really good right now. He's going to be 35 in December. He's hurt again. I think at times he's condescending. I mean, I don't know. What's wrong with Green Bay when you watch him? What is it? Devontae Adams, to me, is a baller.
Yeah. I mean, what happened in this game, he just didn't quite look like himself. I mean, Aaron made some plays that are uncharacteristic for him, we aren't used to seeing Aaron throw a ball, you know, throw a hitch route like that to a corner who's coming about to break on it. Should be a pick six. And so, I mean, I think Aaron's done so much in this league that for him to stand up there and say, "Hey, look, guys, I need to play better. I didn't do this right." Whoop de whoop de whoop. To me, and I don't know, because Aaron is the kind of guy who when I've had conversations with, will take responsibility for things. Will say, "Hey, I didn't do this right." I've known Aaron since college. He whooped up on us pretty bad in a bowl game at Cal, and we've kind of become, you know. Well, we've been friends since then.
And is he happy in Green Bay? Honestly, is he happy with McCarthy? You think he's happy? Be honest about this.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he's. I think he says the right stuff, but I think in the end he's disappointed. They don't spend on Khalil Mack. Yeah. They've never gotten a running game. They don't keep offense. You nailed it. I don't think deep down, Aaron, you don't keep taking these little passive aggressive shots if you're happy in a relationship.
Yeah.
If you're taking shots at your wife as a guy, you know, she's pretty good, I guess. She's a pretty good parent. But take those shots when you're not happy.
Yeah, but see, I don't know where he goes from here, though.
No, he doesn't go anywhere.
And he doesn't go anywhere, obviously, with the new deal. But even prior to that, I don't know if it was anywhere to go. And so, I mean, you kind of make those little comments and you hope it either gets better or, you know, he has his contract. So either that guy's going to go, Aaron's not going
anywhere.
No,
Aaron's not getting fired.
Yeah.
All right, D'Angelo Hall, great having you. What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to TheHerdNow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. TheHerdNow.com. TheHerdNow.com store is open for business today.